mountain, river, and plain, through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airlane.
While Jack Baker and Ann Burton are known to be safe for the moment, aboard the airliner, things are happening in Springfield where co-pilot Pete, hostess Kay Thompson, and Bobby Baker, brother of Jack, believe they have hit upon the solution of the mysterious disappearance of a radio room that Bobby chanced to stumble into while visiting the Tyler Sanitarium. A chance mention of magicians gives Bobby an idea, and he brings out a book which shows the tricks of some of the famous magicians of the stage. On reading a certain page, Pete suggests that they go directly to the airport and pick up Art Morrison, who is expected to arrive any minute with his passengers, Aunt Hattie, and the Florida native Zebulon Abercrombie, or just plain Zeb, who seems to have an interest in the rounding up of the smugglers. Just what has that book on magic to do with the Tyler Sanitarium? Surely Pete cannot believe in the superstitions of the Dark Ages, in the strange powers of unholy rites and weird potions? Suppose we listen as our friends arrive at the Springfield Airport.
Gee, that was a good takeoff. But I wonder if that pilot could have gotten that good if he had had to face a hurricane like Jack did on that little island. You think so, Kay?
Well, I don't know, Bobby. Herb's a pretty good pilot. But that brother of yours, well, he's not bad either.
I'll say he's not bad. He's just the best, that's all. No wonder those smugglers wanted him to fly for them. They knew they had to get there with those diamonds, and Jack was the one fellow they could depend on. They didn't know that Jack would join up with it.
Bobby, not a word here. You never know who's going to hear you around this field, and we do know that the gang has someone on duty here who's been giving them some pretty reliable information.
Oh, gosh, that's right. I nearly forgot. Say, it looks like Pete's forgot to come back. He's been over at that radio room long enough to
see. Oh, he'll be along in a minute. He's got an awful lot to talk about, you know. And a lot to find out, incidentally, about what's been going on since we left here. Oh, but I do wish he'd tell us about Morrison and that air cat.
Yeah, and he's got that book on magic with him, too. I just hope he doesn't lay it down somewhere and forget it.
Oh, don't you worry about that, Bobby. He's hanging on to that book. We can show Art Morrison how we were fooled that first time we looked for the radio room in the Tyler Sanitarium.
Gosh, I wish Mr. Morrison and Aunt Hattie would show up pretty soon. I want to get over and see if I'm right about that. Oh, Pete's coming over here now. When are they getting in, Pete?
We ought to be hearing their motors any minute now, Bobby. There goes the light now.
And that's an aircat motor, too. There's his light, see?
Well, he seems to be bringing it in pretty fast, doesn't he, Pete?
Well, it looks fast from here, all right, but that's just about right for an aircat.
Oh.
We came in like that, only you probably didn't notice it. Morrison can handle a ship okay. I found that out.
Pete, do you honestly think that he's a government radio man? Or...
Bobby, remember what I told you.
Oh, gee, that's right. Gosh, you just can't trust anybody anymore.
See anyone in the cabin, Kay? I mean, besides Aunt Hattie?
Yeah, she's in the back seat, and there's someone up front with Mr. Morrison. I guess this Zeb made the trip all right.
Say, where did Tony Johnson go to, Pete? I thought he said he was going to wait right here until his air cat got in.
It's a funny thing about Tony. He's hardly had a wink of sleep since those fellas stole that ship the other night. So when we got the radio call just a minute ago that Morrison was just about to land, Tony gave a sigh of relief, sat down on the bench in the radio room, and went quietly but very soundly to sleep.
Ah, good old Tony. I guess the relief was just too much after all the suspense. Well, Aunt Hattie, you don't look much the worse for your experience, nor you, Mr. Morrison.
Well, I can't say that I want to go through with it again very soon. Oh, have you heard anything about...
Anne? No, not a thing, Aunt Hattie. That is, any more than you probably already know. She's safe on the transport.
Oh, if you can call that safe.
Art, all I can say is that for a person whose business is radio, you do a mighty nice job of handling an air cat. And they're plenty tricky if you don't know them, too.
Thanks, Pete. Well, let's see here. I want to introduce you to a friend of ours we picked up in Florida.
They picked us up, you mean? At the point of a rifle.
I guess that is a little more accurate. Anyhow, Zeb here has sort of joined us in, well, in our little business enterprise. Mr. Abercrombie, I want you to meet Miss Kate Thompson, hostess for Interstate Airlines.
Mr. Abercrombie?
I'm Zeb to my friends, miss.
Kate to my friends, Zeb.
Miss Kate, so you're a hostess. I guess maybe I'll have to do more of my traveling by airplane after this. Only I've been doing more of it in the last couple of days than I ever counted on.
And this is Pete Peterson. He's Jack Baker's co-pilot when Jack is on his regular run for Interstate. I think he'll be with us in this. Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, Art. Got the word this evening about that. Sure glad to meet you, Mr. Aber.
Just plain Zeb, Pete. I always like to use first names. They don't sound so formal as using Mr. all the time. And sometimes when you're hollering for help, well, saying Mr. So-and-so every time you yell would sort of hamper you, so to speak.
Right you are, Zeb. You're a man after my own heart.
And this is Bobby, Jack Baker's brother.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Abercrombie.
Same thing goes for you, too, Bobby. I know all about how youngsters should be respectful, but... You can be respectful and still call me Zeb, can't you, Bobby?
I'll say I can, Mr. Zeb. Say, didn't you feel kind of funny when you bailed out of that ship the very first time?
Bailed out? I'm sort of feared.
It means when you parachuted down back there in the Everglades, Zeb.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so, Bobby? Yeah, I guess I did at that. When I felt that airplane go off and leave me hanging there in nothing but space, I kind of had my heart in my mouth. I bet I counted 10 faster than I ever did before. Then I just pulled that latch string and prayed. And the next thing I knowed, I was just sort of floating down, ashamed of myself for being scared in the first place. Did you ever,
bail out.
Thanks. Bail out, Pete?
Afraid I have, Zeb. Two-time member of the Caterpillar Club.
Yeah, there's too many funny names in this here game to suit me. Caterpillar Club.
I might explain, Zeb. The Caterpillar Club is sort of an honorary group of flyers who have been forced to take to their parachutes to save themselves from a crash. Almost all of the veterans are members.
But you don't hear much of it anymore because the planes are just about as foolproof and weatherproof as science can make them. And with radio, you know just where you're going. But look, Art, I think Bobby has stumbled on something interesting, and it's right in your line. So if we can get off this field and get somewhere where we can talk without a chance of being overheard, I'll give you the lowdown.
Oh, well, just a minute, Pete. Aunt Hattie went into the administration building to get her bags.
Oh, here she comes with them now. I'll help her with them. I'll help you carry your bags, Aunt Hattie.
And I thought I was having excitement when I was down with the natives in Africa. But that couldn't hold a candle to hanging around one of these airplane fields. Something going on all the time. Hey, just look at the size of that one that just landed. Big as a house. Lots bigger than some I've lived in.
Well, that's the regular flight that came from Detroit, Zeb. Oh, everything all right, Aunt Hattie?
They were there just like I left them, Kay. I was wondering if that pilot would take them back to Detroit when he couldn't find me.
Oh, you got your car here, Pete?
Yeah, it's on the other side of the building. I think we can all crowd in.
Well, that's the only way to travel for me.
Certainly was a remarkable...
Now, we wait until those passengers from the Detroit ship have gone through the gate, and then
Pete, look, that fellow right there, the one with the black hat.
Which one? What do you mean, Bobby?
You see, the fellow that's walking with a kind of a limp?
Yes, I see the one you mean. What about him, Bobby?
Well, that's the fellow I told you about that I saw in the radio room in the Tyler Sanitarium.
What?
The one that was working on some kind of a machine and that talked with a foreign accent, remember?
Yeah. Hey, listen, Bobby, you sort of fall in line with him and see if you can find out where he goes from here. Think you can do that?
Oh, sure I can, Pete.
And meet us at my car as soon as he leaves.
Okay, Pete, I'll do it if I can.
That fella looks sort of familiar to me. I was just trying to figure out where I'd seen him before.
It's a fella that Bobby saw in the radio room of the Tyler place when he happened to stumble onto it once.
And it disappeared like magic when we went to look for it a couple of hours later.
Now, wait a minute, young fella. You mean to tell me that a regular radio station in a room just went poof like that?
I know it sounds like something out of a book, Zeb, but that's just about it. We went to the exact place we'd been before, and, well, it just wasn't there, that's all. It was just kind of a laundry room like you'd find in the basement of any hospital.
They told me the same story, Mr. Zeb, and, well, it sounds just a little far-fetched. Although, to tell the truth, it's not one bit more preposterous than anything that's happened in the last week.
Oh, well, I ain't saying that it didn't happen, ma'am, because I've seen them African voodoo doctors work.
Oh, here's the car. Put Aunt Hattie's bags in the trunk, Pete.
There you are. If I can just find this key. Darn, here it is.
You getting back, Aunt Hattie. You and I'll drop out at my house. You must be worn out completely.
Oh, I certainly am, Kay. But if I thought I'd hear anything from Ann, I'd be willing
She's all right. You can bet on that. As long as Jack is around, she'll be okay. But look, Art, here's what I was going to tell you about that room. While we was talking about it a while ago, Bobby got an idea and dug up a book on magic. You know, one of these exposés or some of the tricks by famous magicians. But there's one in there that, well, it seems to fit the case.
Magicians? Now, see here, if you folks are going to start bringing in them things, I'd just as soon go back to Africa and the voodoo doctor.
Pete, you're not serious about this magic thing, are you?
Mr. Morrison, I fear that the strain of the last week has been telling on Mr. Pete. Either that or he's grasping at any explanation he can find to explain the cleverness of this gang.
Go on, laugh if you want to. But you just wait until we get to Kay's house. I'll show you in this book here. And I think you'll agree with us that all the magic isn't on the stage. Oh, here comes Bobby. Everything okay, Bobby?
Yes, okay, Pete.
We better get away from this airport before we say anything.
Good idea, Art. You're getting back, and Bobby, you and Zeb climb in with me, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, was it the same fellow, Bobby?
Yeah, sure was. And he was met right outside the depot by a big car. I tried to get the license number, but it was too dark, and they didn't have any taillight showing on the plate.
Was it Doc Tyler's car?
I don't think so, Pete. At least not the one he usually uses. Well, anyway, this foreign fellow said something to the driver. I couldn't see who he was either. And then, as he got in, he said, "We must hurry, for we have many messages to send tonight, and I must talk to the doc first."
Did you see which way they went?
Yeah. They headed right out on the street that takes you up to the Tyler Hospital.
Fine. We'll stop at Kay's house so you and Zeb can take a look at this book, Art. And then we'll head out that way ourselves and see if Bobby's as good a detective as I think he is.
Well, I know he is. And I know he's right about that magic trick business. Because I just remembered where I seen that foreigner that walks with a limp.
So Zeb remembers the man with the limp. Just how does he connect this man with the mysterious radio room and the book of magic? Will our friends be successful in solving the enigma? And will the messages that seem so important to the stranger have a bearing on the fate of Ann Burton as she crouches in the cramped quarters of the baggage compartment of the transport that is carrying Jack Baker and the two gangsters toward their first goal, Cape St. Roque? More thrills and adventures unfold when you tune in the next episode of Ann of the Airlines.